We'd like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which this project is created, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We would also like to pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Settle down and gather round for another tale. In the world of Nuar, where time has carved and cultivated a magical utopia of wonder, a small group of adventurers unlock the deep mysteries of the land, its people, and themselves. Welcome to the Down Under Dungeon podcast. Welcome, everyone.
Oh, it's been long enough.
It's been so long.
I know, this has been a lot of hours in the making, but we are all finally here to roll some dice together. So first off, I think it is really good for us to all to just go around the table, introduce ourselves, and then, you know, just give us a little description on how long you've been playing TTRPGs or D&D, what do you enjoy about those games, what do you get out of those games, why do you play? I'll go first. My name's Emerson. I'll be the DM for this campaign. I'm 26 years old. My pronouns are he, him. And I've been playing D&D for about 3 years, 4 years now. I've run a couple of homebrew campaigns. I actually started playing once and we got through one session and I was like, I can do better than that. So I am since been the forever DM. And so I'll be running this story today. For me personally, my background is very non-TTRPG. I went to law school. So it's kind of, for me, I enjoy the contrast of a very fantastical and whimsical setting, but with those practical, like, okay, but how does the cool high elven city actually work and not, you know, crumble? So yeah, that's for me.
All right. My name is Daniel. I am 30 years old. I actually turned 30 today.
Happy birthday!
You know, we didn't think that there was a better time to start. What a better way to celebrate.
Not getting any younger.
Thanks. I use he, him pronouns. My introduction to TTRPGs or D&D was actually Emerson, who introduced me to some online series and stuff, which I absolutely loved. I've always been a very avid video game player, and D&D or TTRPGs just kind of felt like what I wanted in a video game. I was always going through the story and I guess, you know, responding how that character would respond, but I always got to moments and I was like, nah, I want to do something else. Like, why can't I control it more? And this very much felt like the chance to kind of, you know, explore a character, explore a story, which is, I guess, why we started this whole thing, was we wanted to, you know, share some stories and have some fun. So yeah, that was about, I think, like 2 years ago now, 3 years ago. So it's been pretty fun. My background is actually in teaching / education, specifically like drama, media. So, you know, some of that will play into it. We are absolutely not professional voice actors. If we use voices for our character, we will make mistakes, but that's fine. We are here to just have some fun. I think that's it for me.
I think that's it, yeah.
Cool. Hi, I'm Georgia. I use any pronouns. So go for your life, yell at me, I'll turn around. How old? I'm 21, and I've been playing TTRPGs since the beginning of 2020. Got into it through online series, and have been, it's similarly in love with them ever since. I started running my very first game, kind of threw myself into it as soon as I got interested and dragged a whole bunch of people in, very much learnt as I went, and have now run, I think, 4 or 5 different games, one of which has been running for like 3 or 4 years, which is kind of cool.
That's the dream.
Yeah. My background has always been in storytelling. I'm currently almost finished with my degree in creative writing and screen production. So that's almost there. And yeah, I'm just here to have fun, tell some stories, enjoy myself.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's great.
Hey everyone, I'm Jeremy. I go by he, him, or they, them pronouns. Don't have much preference there. I am 23 years old. I've been playing D&D since 2021, but love all kinds of game systems, TTRPGs. Also, yeah, have a background in like playing a lot of video games, watching a lot of movies, so like all kinds of media. I like taking inspiration from, in terms of like studying and that kind of background. I study linguistics and Chinese, so I'm very much into like languages in general. And yeah.
Hi everyone, I'm Amber. I am 22. I go by she, her pronouns, and I've been playing D&D since I think 2018. That's when I started, at least. I was introduced to it through my youth theatre group. I have graduated in a degree in advertising where I minored in popular culture. So I've always sort of been interested in the creative writing, storytelling, movies, TV shows, all of that. Yeah, I'm here for a good time and hopefully a long time.
Yeah, no pressure.
So, I mean, that's a little introduction for all of us, just so you get to know us. But I suppose we should just probably open to a general discussion about what we're playing today.
Yeah.
So we are going to use D&D 5e for our medium for this campaign. I suppose there's a few reasons for using that. Obviously, we're all comfortable with the system. We've all used it before. It is an easy starting place for our listeners as well, because there's a lot of resources out online for them to access.
There's so much.
So much. And I mean, Amber, you could probably negotiate with the pop culture, but like Baldur's Gate 3 has been huge.
Stranger Things.
It's the 50th anniversary of D&D this year, actually.
The Dungeons & Dragons movie last year.
Of course. So
which should have been more successful than it was. I actually thought it was so good.
I know.
It is really good.
It's fun. But yeah, so for us, we're definitely not wedded to 5e moving forward, definitely for this first campaign.
For sure.
But we're definitely open to expanding the dungeon for some other mechanics and systems. And yeah, we'd be awesome and open for that as well. So in terms of just some of the nitty gritty of the campaign, so we'll be using most of the expansions. We'll be doing Milestone. Because, I don't want you guys fighting, like, a few too many goblins and then I'm screwed. So, yeah Milestone will
find,
be it.
Go find a legion of kobolds and wipe them all out repeatedly.
Just stop your story. I'm going to go.
I'm going to go power game over here. So, yes, we'll be using milestones, customizable origins, all that. We will be starting at level 1. Which I can, dear audience, you can hear the collective inhale from the group.
Genuinely terrifying. And we have kind of done all of that customizable origins and stuff because we are focused on more telling like authentic and, you know, true stories to these characters and finding out from there. We didn't want to get into that nitty gritty of, oh, but this race gets these pluses and that's not going to work with the, you know, class that I want to play. And that just feels a bit limiting. So,
yeah. So that's really what we're going to, also, you know, everyone says don't start at level 1 and we say try me. I think it's going to be great. And you know, like D&D, you get powerful very quickly. So I mean, if you earn that power, I feel like that kind of makes you a little bit more responsible of it. But yeah, we will see. I hope not. I hope you guys go full crazy, but
Cut forward to episode 2 and we're all dead.
Murder hobo.
Yeah.
We're all just on the ground.
TPK number 2.
Yes.
First character and backup character already dead.
Yeah, so a couple of homebrew rules that I'm going to introduce here just for the audience to understand. So nat 20, nat 1, they are critical successes and failures regardless of your modifier. Just makes things a little bit spicy. Healing potions, you can use a healing potion as a bonus action and roll. As per description, or you can take the action for the full healing. Help action. So people love throwing around the help action, which I think is great. It leads to some good teamwork and storytelling. But for this campaign, you can only offer the help action if you have proficiency in the skill. I think that's just going to make things a little bit more realistic. And I would also like you to describe how and in which meaningful way you are helping as well.
The stakes are just getting higher.
Yes.
It's getting scarier and scarier as we go along.
Yeah, so resurrection rules. Revivify is way too easy. So it will not be an automatic success. It will just enable you to re-roll your death saves.
So say you were to fail your death saves once someone has cast Revivify on you, could that person then try Revivify again, or would your soul become unwilling?
It depends. We will probably nut out those mechanics a little bit closer to when you guys can actually pick up the spell, because it's not going to be really relevant until then.
That's true.
But I will say, yeah, it's not just going to be crack a diamond like a cold beer and just keep going, you know what I mean? So we'll definitely do that. Drawing and switching weapons, that's another thing to keep in mind for our half-casters, full-casters. You know, take the warcaster feat if you need. We will probably also do the cleave rule for certain enemies. And we're not going to really bother with encumbrance unless you guys are trying to move something ridiculous.
Cool.
Okay. All casters I will allow to prepare their spells on a long rest. I know that might seem a little bit breaking to the system, but for a narrative story, I think it's better if you guys are able to switch your spells out. And I'll also let you change a cantrip per level. How about that?
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll also be playing, a lot of my stuff will play around like real world consequences, so exhaustion is something you guys might have to play around with. For crits, including spells, because wizards can crit too, you take the max damage and then you will roll again to determine on top of that.
Oh,
but okay. That also applies for NPCs to you, so be very careful.
So one hit at level one, yeah. Max, oh my God. We're dead.
Okay.
We can take maybe one hit, maybe not a crit.
Maybe not a crit.
There might be some secret optional rules that are pertinent to your specific character, and they might come out through the campaign. So obviously, if you guys decide to play a wizard, we will discuss those mechanics and things like that. You guys will all get a starting feat, which is originating from your backstories. And also, because it's level one, you'll get an item as well.
What kind?
Let's go uncommon.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah. As well as all your normal starting equipment. And your starting money as well is not standard. That also comes from your backstory, but I'll let you know how much gold you get.
That's also terrifying. Why is everything terrifying?
I don't know. Everything is, but it's also exciting.
Should have made a rich character.
Yeah.
Maybe you really should have just made a guy who's rich.
Can we pause for a moment? I need to go rewrite both of my backstories.
Yeah. We're all nobles now.
Yeah.
We're going to have a lot of fun.
Turns out we're all from the same royal family.
Oh, that's such a coinky deal.
Sweet. So that's all the rules out of the way. Any questions for that, guys? We're all pretty good.
I think we're good.
Yeah.
Actually, one mechanics kind of base question.
Hmm.
If your first level has a starting feat already, is it then you get a second starting feat?
So basically, that's just from your background. It's okay. A background feat.
Cool.
So,
wow.
Yeah. All right, gang, now it's time to talk a little bit about the world. Welcome to the land of Nua. I was inspired to make this campaign because, obviously, from my background, so studying law and politics, so, you know, the idea of practical and social implications is really, I think it grounds fantasy in a way that enables you to relate to it more. So that's what kind of drew me into this kind of world. So, you know, this world is, you know, highly diverse in terms of, ethnicity, there's kind of, a large social ladder, a lot of people are moving up and down, but because of that, there's a lot of hazards, a lot of has-nots, there's obviously things like monopolization, certain trades, which is obviously highly dangerous, but also highly lucrative, and, you know, the practical implications of if you're trying to make a fantastical utopia, what would that political system look like? Enough to cover these broad ranges and diasporas, but also function somewhat effectively. So what are the limitations of that? Is that utopia even possible? And so that's where the land of Nua was born. Specifically for this campaign, I wanted to explore the notion of time, not necessarily in a chronomancy sense or a narrow sense, but how time interacts with life. So, how time interacts with stories, interpretations of those stories, the beliefs surrounding myths and legends and values, and how fluid and dynamic that kind of history is. So obviously in the fantasy world, there are some races who are immortal. So what impact does that have on how history is remembered? Who is the gatekeepers of knowledge, and, you know, what stories are told and what stories aren't told?
That's so cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
So the material plane of Nua is the outcome of a huge cosmic occurrence whereby all the multiple planes collided and were displaced and rearranged in much of the multiverse. And so Nua is kind of the material plane for our intents and purposes for this campaign.
Cool.
Yeah. So now that you guys got a know kind of an understanding of the world and the rules, why don't we get into and discuss some of our characters?
Why don't we roll initiative?
Yeah, let's roll initiative. Okay.
All right, terrifying. I hate that.
Just a flat D20.
Yeah, add your real life initiative. So yeah. With minus 5.
Yeah, I haven't woken up yet, so.
Okay, what did everyone roll?
13.
Got a 10.
I got a 9.
4.
Okay. George, let's start with you.
Okay.
What are we thinking?
So I've got a couple different characters that I'm thinking about. I'm thinking either a bard or an artificer.
Ooh.
So my bard, her name is Lady Louis. She is a 75-year-old variant human. She has been kind of out on the streets, almost like a sort of busking jazz musician her whole life.
Nice.
Who's just kind of taken in a whole, well, when I say taken in, kind of ended up with a whole lot of people that have ended up relying on her and formed this little community kind of accidentally.
That's so cute.
And then my other one is a halfling artificer, whose name is Kai. They have been kind of isolated for most of their life, and then have only recently kind of had the opportunity to step outside of their small town and start to learn actually what technology is and how artificing works and how machines work and things. And it's just very kind of curious about how everything in general is in the real world. So,
yeah, nice. Yeah. So for the bard, like what kind of vibe bard are we thinking? What's the vibe of the bard?
I guess kind of think that 75-year-old grandma that you see like in the supermarket every now and then, just like that one lady that you have that if you're working somewhere and there's that one regular that you know by name and she's always there and she's just like in the corner yabbering away and you just kind of walk past like, ah, hi. And then she rubs you in a conversation for 30 minutes and then you have to like drag yourself away from her.
So the high charisma in terms of endearing.
Yeah. Endearing, maybe just pure annoying.
Yeah.
It could be either way.
If you end up playing this character, I'm doing anything in my power to protect them.
Not going down.
I feel like that's the community now. Like, people, like, don't attach to cute little characters. It's like, who are the old and who are the ugly? And
yeah.
Grab hold of those.
Yeah. No, I love her a lot.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And what kind of bard were you thinking? What kind of artificer?
Yeah, so in terms of, like, eventually getting to subclasses and things. For the bard, I'm thinking College of Creation. In terms of like that, yeah, again, that crazy little old lady who just like animates the salt and pepper shakers to dance around because she thinks it's entertaining.
It is.
Thank you.
Very entertaining.
And then for Kai, my artificer, I'm thinking alchemist, but in the terms that they're actually a tailor. So like making the dyes into the alchemical properties and then kind of like running the fabric through it and weaving it into things to make it work.
Oh, that's so creative.
Thank you. So yeah, it's a cool little thing. And I like all of them.
Nice.
Very cool.
Great. My first concept is a fae. His name is Quigwillan Quig Mayalid. And he is an illusionist wizard.
Ooh.
And what I'm going for with Quig is that he's very analytical and his magic is very mathematical. So he's kind of playing with the energy as waves, so sound and light and like magic in general functions in this way that's mathematically understandable. So his magic when he's casting it is through mathematical equations, essentially.
Cool. D&D already has too much math.
Yeah, you're like,
I need to add more.
I'm adding the maths. It's all me. That's how he's processing it. But this is sort of backstory, or like the element of it that's interesting is that him being a fae that was almost cut off from the fae court's magic, in terms of he was raised amongst like fae sorcerers essentially, but didn't have the same acuity for that kind of just channeling of natural magic. So he had to find his own way. And so my other character, we got Thralsrak, who is a silver dragonborn barbarian.
Ooh.
I really felt drawn to the path of the giant barbarian, which is a fairly recent addition to D&D, but reflavoring some of the abilities to be more draconic. So he is from a small, like, communal living tribe of all silver dragonborn, who are very, like, nature-focused, and who kind of view, like, in their region, they have, like, draconic protectors. The silver dragons are kind of tied to the nature of the region, as they are as well. And he is a sort of champion of this, like, he has this link to this draconic power that he's able to channel, you know, grow to great size, channel this energy, as he's a representative and a defender of his people.
Cool.
Okay, cool.
I love how many glimpses we're already getting into, like, regions or, like, small pieces of lore from the world. I also think it speaks to you, Emerson, how much of a rich world that you have created.
Well, we haven't seen much of it yet, but yeah.
Like, at least three different corners of it so far. Four different corners of it so far.
Yeah, true.
So when I went into the character creation process, I think I came up with like six. I know we were only meant to come up with two, but I played around with so many things, like a Storm Herald barbarian from Caer Frostia, you know, the frosty place to the north. I played around with some like fey rangers and stuff, but I have settled on two. So one of them is actually also a wizard. His name is Winx, and he's a Harrigan. I'm not so locked into my subclasses that I will end up with, but he will probably end up as a bladesinger. So I'm imagining this bunny dude kind of hitting people with a hammer or something. I don't know. It's kind of like his lucky rabbit's foot. He comes from like this nomadic tribe of Harrigan that travel around Nua. Have never really fit in anywhere. People often look down upon them and stuff. And he's also kind of willing to, you know, do anything to better himself. He's seen them get mistreated and stuff. So he's probably done some shady dealings to, you know, get his own powers and get to where he needs to be. And he's trying to become a student at the Starlit Conservatory. And then, yeah, I think that's pretty much it for Winx. And then my other character is Feng. He is a Firbolg druid. Will most likely become a wildfire druid because he actually grew up in the Order of the Eternal Flame, which is this druidic circle in Nua. They're very dedicated to, like, making sure the cataclysm never happens again, uprooting, you know, corrupt energy and power where it is, using their fire powers as well to kind of like harvest seeds, you know, regerminate them, make them bloom, purify areas of land and stuff. And he has failed his initiation test a couple times. So he's in his feelings a little bit and probably just been told to go and find out more about the world before he becomes a full druid. But yeah, I think that's it.
Love. Love that. Incredible.
So yeah, I wanted to play a couple of characters. The character ideas that I had are very much refined sorts of characters. The first one is a human bard who is very much inspired by the history of the Russian ballet. So like imperial autocracy as sort of a system and how that kind of plays into what the Russian ballet was built into. Specifically looking at how taking a character from a lower class sort of system and being put into an institution and being built to be something, and from the moment that they're put into that, into when they leave, how that just changes them. And so I wanted to explore playing a bard that is very different from how bards have been like portrayed through media. So very, very refined, very strict, very like poised. Her name is Alora Delathina. So really, I've been just sort of looking at like Russian culture and things like that for it. And then my other character is a tiefling fighter who came from somewhere.
to be determined or?
Not to be determined, but, you know.
To be revealed.
To be revealed if I decide to go with her. She found her way to Feldspar. And grew up in a monastery, being taught all things in common and everything like that, sort of being trained into a lifestyle and into a role, and has sort of found herself going off to explore the world before continuing down a pathway within the institution.
Cool.
Very
cool. We could totally end up with two bards and two wizards.
We really like our bards and wizards.
We do.
Oops, all bards.
I went into the character creation process like, don't do two full spellcasters, do one full caster and then like one martial class. And
but
just,
you
like,
couldn't help yourself.
I really couldn't. And it seems like most of you couldn't either.
Sweet. Well, they all sound really, really good. We're going to make things even more spicy for session zero because we're also going to roll our stats.
No.
Okay.
Scary.
Okay, so what we're basically going to go around, we'll basically keep the same initiative order as before.
Okay.
Georgia, you're up.
That's scary.
All right. I'm feeling okay about this. Can I borrow? Oh, no. No, mind, I have one. I'm good. Okay. That's 12.
Not too bad.
Not too bad.
It's a 7.
Oh.
It's a 7.
Hey, DM, are there rules to, like, minimum?
Nope.
Great. Wonderful. Thanks. 12.
Okay. We need something higher.
12.
Hey, could be worse.
12. Can I have something else than a 12?
Well, that's up to you.
Please. Okay, that's better. That's a 16.
Hey, okay. And they're playable.
I'm surprised with that. Yay.
All right, my turn?
Yep.
Okay. That is a 13.
Nice.
Yep. Okay, so we're better than a 12. Nine.
Okay.
This is what dragon gets you.
Yeah, I deserve this. 14.
Mm-hmm.
Go, I want that 16. I want that. 13.
Mm-hmm.
15.
Hey,
that's enough. Last one. And that's another 13.
It's the curse of the 12s and 13s
over here. Yeah, good.
Okay, Daniel, your turn.
Okay. Oh, that's a 15.
Hey.
Nice starting place.
Look enough.
That's a 12.
Okay. There's so many 12s.
That's another 12.
Oh, my God.
The party of 12.
Beautiful, above average.
Is this our party name? Are we just a party of 12?
Party of 12.
It's a party of 4, but a party of 12.
Once we go through 3 characters each. Oh, that's a 9. Ooh, 14.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, I want like a 16 or something. Oh, another 15.
Okay. Nice. I'm still riding 1 point higher than both of your one.
Very nice. Alrighty.
Let's bring it home, Amber.
So, starting off strong with a 16.
Hey.
Very nice. Then we have 11.
Okay.
That's good. We're going with 13. A 9.
Ooh.
We're going with 10.
Okay.
And finally, 11.
11.
Okay. Not too bad.
Too bad.
Fred.
We're all pretty close.
I'm not too bad.
It's doable. It's look, I'll allow it, and it's doable.
I like the amount of hope in your voice there that it doesn't exist.
Yeah, it doesn't. Sweet, gang. So what I'll let you do is we'll go home now and you can take those stats and try and mash them into one of your characters.
Yes.
For those at home, we are planning on releasing episodes 0 and 1 up first. And once we release a little bank just to keep you guys going, we'll hopefully try and release weekly on a schedule just to keep the narrative moving forward for everyone. Good luck, guys. I'll see you all next week.
See you then.
And Drake.